right, we are live, and it is Wednesday night, February 14th. In the United States, that is Valentine's Day, we call it, 2018. We're in our series, Believe in Jesus, Believe Jesus, Believe What Jesus Believes. We are in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 virgins, which just means young girls. Okay, so this is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come to you, and Lord, I thank you tonight for the consistency of the Word of God in our lives. Because there are times when we need just to have things that are consistent, and it strengthens us and keeps us sane. And so I thank you, Lord, that we are meeting here, studying your word, praying, and we have a pattern of doing this in our Christian lives, so that when tragedies strike, when crisis hits, and things like that, we have something to do and where we can keep our sanity. And we thank you, God, that you guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you for that. And we thank you that we know, as we study the Word of God, that you are in control. And so, Lord, whatever is happening, it is not outside of your knowledge or your presence or whatever. And we must trust you that out of whatever happens in life, you will do the right thing. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And you will bring something good out of it. It may take a while, but something good will come out of it. And so, Lord, today we give you the praise and we give you the glory. We ask you to help us to heed the warning of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read this, but let's see, when are we going to read it? We're going to read it right off. That's when we're going to read it, right now. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Okay. Is it readily available, or do you want me to blab?
Yeah,
talk
I got
for
it.
A while? Okay.
Matthew 25, 1 to 13. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
All right, now, this is all about the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus continues to warn of coming judgment. To do so, he tells this parable to his disciples privately. He likens the kingdom of heaven to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They did not have candles in those days. I want to make that point. There is They didn't even have candles until many hundreds of years later, making candles. So they were lamps, and they were like little oil lamps. We have some out in the other room on a, you know, you can see them out there. The different, huh? Oh, and there's a picture right there, yes, yeah, of the oil lamp. Okay. And I'll tell you about the lamps in a minute. Five were wise and five were foolish. The bride, this is important, the bridegroom tarried, and all ten slumbered and slept. All ten of them slumbered and slept. You know, they weren't really anxious. The bridegroom was taking his time, whatever. That's not the issue. It was the idea of the tarrying, and all ten slumbered and slept. That's, we got to stick to the main point. Okay. The foolish, and I'm going to call them the foolish ones. The foolish ones took their lamps, but took not oil with them. They didn't have any oil there. The wise ones took oil in their vessels with their lamps. At the middle of the night, perhaps at midnight, a cry went forth. Behold, the bridegroom! Go forth to meet him! All ten got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones found that their lamps were going out, and they think maybe there wasn't too much wick or whatever was going on. They were not prepared. Nothing was happening there. They wanted the wise men, the wise ones, to give them of their oil, and it would have been like olive oil, something they burned, to give them of their oil, but the wise ones would not, and it's an absolutely would not, it's oume in the Greek, absolutely would not, no, never, okay, lest there be not enough for them and the five foolish ones. Okay. Instead of taking ours, the wise ones said, go to the sellers of oil and buy for yourselves. Which reminds me of, there used to be this ad, get your own, what was it? It was some kind of chips or something. Snack. No, we really don't remember. We just remember... somebody would be eating something.
It was Lego my
Ego. Lego my Ego.
No, it was get your own, we'll say.
Probably some Doritos, because they've come up Doritos with some pretty creative commercials.
Yeah.
Get your own Cheez-Its, maybe.
Something like that. Get your own whatever. It's like that. So get your own whatever. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. So the foolish ones left to go buy oil, and while they were gone... They're out buying the oil. The bridegroom came. The wise ones that were ready went with him to the wedding feast. And the word gamus means marriage or wedding feast. Marriage or wedding feast. And the door was shut. That's an important detail. Okay. The door was shut is only twice. Two occurrences of this particular word in the New Testament. One is here, and the door was shut. One version says, wedding feast and was shut the door, like somebody shut the door. Luke 4:25 is another place, and it says, the sky was shut up for three, whatever, or heaven was shut up, or Israel... When Israel was shut up, no. Israel when was shut up the heaven. Okay, well anyway, the heaven was shut up, one way or the other. Luke 4:25, that's the only two times this word is used about the door was shut. The foolish ones came along later saying, Lord, Lord! Open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Or truly, I say to you, not, this is a strong not, not, I do know you, and it's oida, not, I do know you. Okay, so, there's, because of the way it's, this is reading in the Greek and whatever, the lesson is this, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. And that's Jesus' lesson here. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. Watch, therefore, for not, strong not again, Jesus is talking, you do know the day, and it's oida, you do know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. So you have to watch because you absolutely do not know oida. You're not in on it. You don't have that. You're not in on it for the day and the hour. Okay, we'll get into more of it. So oida, again, has come up before, means to see with physical eyes, but it bridges to the metaphorical sense of mentally seeing and perceiving, like, I see what you mean. I see what you're saying. Really, you see the words? What do you see? Well, we know what we mean when we say, I see what you're saying. It means I get it. Okay, and then, and that's from oida. And it's when seeing becomes knowing. As my seminary professor said, oida is when you know it. Drag out the word. Yeah, a gateway to grasp spiritual truth or reality from a physical plane, plane. So it's a bridge to mental and spiritual seeing or comprehension. And it's more than that. And if you look up other places for oida, where oida is used, it's like you're not just acquainted with it. It's like being a skilled craftsman. You know what you're doing. You know. It's a knowing where beyond, okay, yeah, you know. I know about this pencil. I know it's a writing instrument and, you know, and it has black ink and whatever, and I can tell you certain things. Could I build it? Can I make this pen myself? Do I really know this pen? Down into the details to draw it, to know it. No, I don't. So I don't oida this pen. I just kind of know about it. I can tell you some things, though. But I'm not like a person who, say, I might be an apprentice. I'm not a master craftsman. You know, like that. So that's the difference. So oida is, I know it. John, you say it. I know it.
I know it.
Okay, there you go. You gotta have a different voice. Okay. All right. So this parable follows warnings. There were some other warnings in Matthew 24 that follow warnings that many will fall away from the faith and the faithful will be hated by the world. Many will fall away from the faith and the faithful, that's one warning, and the faithful will be hated by the world, so don't be surprised. Olive oil was the fuel used in lamps of Jesus' day. Now, many believe the foolish ones, or the foolish young women, or foolish virgins, never had any oil in their lamps. Bottom line. If there was anything in there, it was nothing. It was like literally nothing. But they didn't have any oil in their lamps. I read in one thing where they think that the foolish ones were even lying about having anything, you know, or whatever. But they were looking to the wise ones to supply for them. Okay, the disciples had requested to know what sign would signal the coming of the Son of Man and the end of the age. That's in Matthew 24, verse 3. In speaking of the last days, Jesus made it clear that the end would not come immediately, so expect a delay, and be warned to distraction. And that was in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 31. So he's not. He gives some signs and different things. But he says that many would seek to turn people's attention and affections away from Jesus, the true Messiah, to something else. So he says, you know, if they cry over there, there's going to be these false messiahs, false Christs rise up. And, oh, there he is, and here he is, and a lot of blah, blah, blah. And don't go out there and don't believe it and whatever. Okay, and in chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus speaks of what his disciples can and cannot know. And on the basis of both, he gives some specific words of instruction regarding the last time. So if we remember, he spoke about the fig tree to teach that we can know seasons. You can know seasons. As to the day and the hour, though, think about the flood in Noah. So we can know the season. This might be the season of judgment, or the season of this and that. And we might be able to discern the season. Oh, this is winter time. This is summer time, you know, or whatever. But for the day and the hour, you're not going to know the day and the hour. But we're to think about the flood in Noah. All right, read Genesis 7, verses 12 to 17. Because here came the day.
Genesis 7, 12 to 17. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The water increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth.
Okay. And who shut the door?
The Lord shut him.
Right. Okay. Noah knew about the season of judgment. Okay? He knew about the season. He did not know the exact day. He obeyed God, and he built the ark. All right. Does anybody know how long it took to build that ark?
120 years.
120 years. Oh, my goodness. Enough time that, you know, people were laughing. I mean, they lived long, but people were laughing, mocking. It hadn't rained yet, so what in the world is this? What is this? Well, that's going to be an ark. I mean, what is that thing you're building? There was no need, you know, and whatever they were doing there. And so Noah and company entered the ark, and God shut the door. The people would have seen Noah building this ark, which seemed ridiculous. They didn't exactly have an early warning system. There was no early warning system any more than, I mean, that's pretty recent in history, you know, where climate control and whatever is concerned. Now, my goodness, you can watch a hurricane on radar if you've still got electricity. if your electricity is still on, you can watch. And I remember one time we were watching the storm. We were in the middle of it, and they were saying, "See this heavy rain coming, you know?" And they said, "It's just now. It's going over Fort Lauderdale, and oh." And there's, I don't know what was going on, and then it was just like, boom, and our electricity went off. That was it. Oh, my goodness. And we're watching it right on the radar, and then, boom.
You're right. I always think of that when they're forecasting a big storm, and it's nice, nice outside. You don't know this thing is roaring towards you.
No.
You know, it's just a day away or 12 hours away, and everything's calm, and peaceful.
I know. Yeah, just before a hurricane comes, you get this wonderful weather.
Yeah.
If you don't board up,
that
rain starts going, it's very hard to. But so that's a get ready scenario. So they didn't have that early warning system. Now they do now. I know, like, the phones will give you up north. They give you, as I know this with Joanna's phone, she gets these warning alerts that something's going to happen, whether it's tornado or some
they have that
bad
here.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have an alert system, too, if a child goes missing. It comes
yeah,
up on your phone.
Alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And other things might happen.
So we have an early warning system, but they didn't have that. When God shut the door, there was no opportunity for anyone else to enter that ark. My point is, it was over. Or whoever was shut out.
We've got the Bible as our early warning system.
You're right. That's what we've got. As to the judgment of which Jesus warns is coming, there will be no indication of the exact day or hour. Right. The idea is people will be working as usual. They will be unawares of the plot of the burglar, for example. If he had known the hour that, you know, the burglar would show up, he would have been better prepared.
Those horrible events today.
Yes.
Everything's normal, and then...
And right. Oh, and by the way, the skies are blue, and it was a beautiful day.
Mm. See?
See? That's the... All right. And off guard, people will be unaware and clueless. It will be off guard. That's the idea. There will be marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, life is just going on merrily, merrily. Okay, and then hazards. Let's think about a hazard. Hazards are everywhere. You have a hazard. Let me get this. Let's see. So a volcano is a hazard. It could go off at any minute, right? But then you have to assess the risk of it going off while you're looking at this as a tourist going by the volcano, see? And your risk might be very small, but you know that volcano is it's active, like where we just were in Guatemala, it's an active volcano. It could do its thing at any moment, see? Like the people living in Pompeii long hundreds of years ago. I've been to Pompeii, and there's this volcano thing, and people were living there, and they didn't know, and so the whole place was wiped out because the volcano decided one day to be totally active, and out came all this stuff and buried the place, right? And so that's a lesson to us.
And the other thing that goes hand in hand with volcanic areas is earthquakes.
Yes.
So at any time, if you have an area that's volcanic active, and an earthquake rumbles it all up, I mean, you're talking about a double
whammy.
A double whammy. So, I mean, it's a double warning all the time.
Yes.
Because an earthquake can happen and trigger tsunamis and other things too, so, and dams breaking, I mean, it's just like the possibilities go on.
So Jesus says, you know, you look out there and you know the season, and you know you can watch, I mean, we have a hurricane season, okay, and then we have, but we never know the day I mean, we know more now when something's going to hit, but nobody knew. It took a long, long time before they developed a decent system to, it hasn't been that many years that they've had a really good system of predicting when these storms, if they were going to come here or not. And then when God intervened, we saw one storm headed for us, but because we were praying a certain way, it actually made a direct right-hand turn, went out into the ocean, and then made a left-hand turn and got out there, and then made another left-hand turn and came back and then went on. That was Hurricane Matthew, and we were spared.
It was a Cat 5 heading directly for us.
Yes, and we were spared of it, and they've documented it. It was all scientifically documented. And I think I had it in a message of the month, a picture of it.
It was incredible.
My sister sent me the picture they were sending out of it, and how it just did that, and it was the exact territory of where our people live, from the south up to the north in West Palm and stuff.
And you could see where God intervened, mm-hmm. because they were expecting a Cat 5 hurricane to hit Houston. And it was not going to leave Houston for 72 hours. And at the last minute, I mean really close to the last minute, it tuned down wind-wise, but it did pour and flood Houston. But you think a Cat 5 hurricane, 3 days sitting, versus flooding, they were spared. Because it would have been absolute devastation. There would have been so much loss of life, it wouldn't have been funny.
Right. Okay, so that's the idea of on the hazard. So with a hazard, we know something bad might happen and will happen at some point, but we don't know exactly when. So we assess the risk of something bad happening, but we could be way off. So with Jesus' return, troubles might proceed, but the day itself could just as easily be blue skies and clear. Now, I wrote that, and that's exactly what happened today. And for those of you living around the world, what happened today was, in blue and clear skies, a major school shooting with all right here where we live, and all these students and teachers and administration people died, and it just happened this afternoon, and you never know, and it's just horrendous. It's absolutely horrendous event, and we just don't know. So then it's the boom, and that's it. Jesus is asking for ongoing readiness, even without any indication something is going to happen. Now, with our world today living with terrorism around the world, this is especially important, whether we think of it in terms of Jesus' return or Jesus showing up, or just we have to live this way. And I think some of the terrorism we're all experiencing around the world is God saying, you got to be ready, you got to be ready, you got to be alert. You have to know your surroundings. Like they always tell you when you come into a place, always spot where the exits are. You got to think like an FBI person does all the time. You know? I mean, we've had some FBI people when we used to have a store come in, and trust me, they know where your exits are. They got this one guy used to come in and scan the whole room. He was just taking it all in, I'm telling you, prepared for whatever. It was a habit. He couldn't help himself. He was trained. And that was his habit. He just did that. And, you know, and in a way, we have to, more and more now, it's not that we want to, but we're having to live this way more and more. Okay, so I believe it is to give us the mindset we need to have right now. and that is to live in a state of readiness. Okay, now there's a delay in Jesus' coming. We are to be alert. We are to go about the task assigned to us by him. So we just keep doing the work of the kingdom, and we just keep doing our work, whatever it is, and we're going about our daily tasks, and we're going about the work of the kingdom, whatever we're doing. It's our appointed work. And we're not to assume that there will be some warning on our cell phone or in the heavens, some early warning system in place. Maybe there will, maybe there won't. We're not promised some really early warning system. Don't assume it won't come in your lifetime. When will the Son of Man come? Don't assume that it won't come in your lifetime. So it doesn't matter. And on the other side, don't assume long delays. Okay. With our parable here, we must see that this is exceptional and not typical. What do I mean? We can't put 21st century customs or assumptions when we talk about this as a wedding or whatever. The point is not the wedding. The point is that we is readiness for when the bridegroom comes. That's the point. The point is not knowing the day and the hour. That's the point. Details are omitted, and we're going to have questions. Are these bridesmaids? Are they the bridesmaids? Some people assume that they are, but the word can just mean some young girls carrying these. They had these lamps. I mean, see, where is the bride? Where's the groom coming from? What's the deal here? Where are they along in this wedding ceremony that went on and on? Okay, and then I want to talk about the word translated lamp. It is lampas. How do you like that? Lampas. Okay. It's basically a handheld torch. So if you think of a little torch, you're better off. Sometimes it was a clay vessel, but it's a lamp that uses a wick saturated with oil. Let's read Revelation 4, verse 5. Another place where this word is here.
Revelation 4, verse 5. And from the throne proceeding lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Okay, lamps of fire. That's lampas. That's the same as here. So the word which is used for lamp here, lampas, is not the normal word used for lamp in Matthew or in the New Testament. In fact, this particular word is used five times in this parable in Matthew 25. It's used one time in John 18, verse 3. It's used one time in Acts 20, verse 8. And it's used twice in Revelation 4, verse 5. And it's used in Revelation 8, verse 10. Okay, so it's more of a torch. It's a larger, brighter lamp than that which is normally used inside a house. Alright, so in John 18, verse 3, the lampus, or the lamp, was the torch held by those who came in the night to arrest Jesus near the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, if you watch movies, they come with these, you ever seen them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like these torches on a stick or whatever? And there were many of these larger lamps in the room where Paul was teaching in Acts 20, verse 8. And, of course, some say the extra warmth must have contributed to the young man's sleepiness and falling out. He fell out the window. You know? Okay. So the lamp here was, quote, more like a large flat bowl with a rag or rope-like wick. And this kind of lamp could be attached to a pole and used as an outdoor torch in the darkness. The word trim, which almost every translation uses in our passage, is a word which is found 10 times in the King James Version, but only once here in Matthew 25, verse 7. Only once is it rendered trim. So, we have this mental image of maybe a bridesmaid, whoever, anyway, we've got five wise and five foolish ones, adjusting the wick upward in a glass-top lamp, lighting it with a match, maybe. I don't know, they lit it somehow. And preparing the lamp by fixing it to a pole and then lighting some primitive wick or some rag in there. Lamps were transported without oil. That's why they think there was no oil. Because when they walked around and transported it, they didn't put oil in it, and they didn't need oil in the daytime. They didn't light these lamps in the daytime. Oil was carried in flasks for whenever they were needed. There may have been residue on the wicks that burned out quickly for the five foolish ones who quickly tried to do something, and the rag might have been in there, or they had something on this wick or rag or whatever it was, and they set that, tried to light that, but it wouldn't have done anything much. And why would all five run out of oil at the same time? That wouldn't make sense either. So we're to get the main point and not try to fill in details that aren't provided, and that's true for all the parables. The difference between the wise and foolish ones is salvation. The foolish ones were not saved and then ran out of salvation. No, they were lost and they never had salvation. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God, and Jesus says they were foolish ones. Oh. And he also said, oh, foolish ones and slow to believe. Right? All that the scripture said in there. Okay. So the fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's Psalm 14:1. And actually it's also Psalm 53, verse 1. They never had oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The oil in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. It's one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. These were empty lamps. Dr. Robert Deffenbaugh said, quote, they looked useful. They seem to give promise of light, but they never produce it, unquote. In the parable, time passes, darkness sets in, and everyone falls asleep because the groom tarries. He delays. But then suddenly the groom comes. Oh, and the mad dash begins. The wise are already prepared. They're prepared. They're all ready. The foolish are not. So the foolish want the wise to give to them. Oh, how often does that happen in the Christian church? Or any place, really. Give me yours. Help me out here. Just help me out here. I don't have that. Come on, help me out. But the wise say no, and it's strong. No. So then the foolish go off buying their own oil, like go buy your own, whatever it was.
Yeah, just like that guy wanted Paul to sell him the Holy Spirit, wasn't it?
Yes.
He was like, an X.
Right. Give me that. Come on.
Yeah.
So the wise one said, you know, go buy your own oil. But can you buy the Holy Spirit?
No.
To buy the gifts or buy what the Holy Spirit gives even? No. See what's in here? It's just running in here. The wise are going into the wedding celebration. plead all they want. And they go, Lord, Lord, come on, like, let us in, you know. And Jesus' answer to the five foolish ones is, no, I won't let you in. It is, I do not know you. That is strong. That's very strong. And it reminds us where they say, where Jesus says, they'll say to me, Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff, you know, basically, in your name, and I did this and I did that. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And they called him Lord, Lord, Lord. But all this stuff I did in your name. Strong language. So much time has passed. Few live in expectancy of Jesus' return. His return will separate. That's another key word in this thing. Separation. Because it's going to get picked up later, too, in Matthew 25. Separate. Separation. Jesus' return will separate. One group will be distinguished from another. And he said this before in Matthew 24. They'll be doing all this stuff. One will be left, and one will go on. But some, you know, and this is the separation. It was so when the plagues hit Egypt. I will put a difference between my people and not my people. God said, I will put a difference between my people and not my people. And Jesus is doing the same thing. He's saying in this parable, I put a difference between my people and not my people. And my people are the wise ones. And the foolish ones, I never knew you. Not my people. Not my people.
Well, the words sift, sort, separate, and sanctify come up a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
He sifts, he sorts, he separates, and he says that that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
When we're in that season, okay, where it's going to be really strong. All right, so who is what may not be distinguishable until Jesus returns, but Jesus knows his own. We can't always tell who's in, who's out. We can't always tell. We can't always tell by outward works or things that people are doing. Lord, Lord, you know, blah, blah. When they called him Lord, they were saying, you're in control of my destiny. You're in control of my destiny. And he's saying, I do not know you. He is in control of their destiny, and it's not going to be with him, you know, except as creator, not whatever's going on there. The wise and foolish are together with their lamp torches. They all expect to go to the wedding celebration. Oh, I love it, because today, you know, everyone expects to go to heaven, whatever that is. They're all going to heaven. Everybody. All right, now it's time for you to say Dr. Raymond's great line.
Dr. Raymond in his systematic class goes, all religions will lead you to God. And he says prior to that, he goes, what I'm about to say will probably surprise you. Because he says, I'm going to tell you, all religions will lead you to God. But there is only one way to God as Father, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord.
Right.
It's a very profound statement. Yes, very profound.
All right, you like it. So all these, they're all expecting to go to the wedding celebration. The foolish ones address the groom as Lord. The foolish ones. The foolish ones brought their lamps or their torches, but no oil. They had no oil. None of the ten knew when the groom would show up. All ten were sleeping when the announcement came that the groom was coming right then. We are not to feel sorry for the five foolish ones. And we are not to slam the five wise ones for not sharing their oil. Oh, how unchristian of you, wise ones. Should give me that oil. Give me your oil. No. Lest we all run out, you know, and then nobody can see where they're going. No. Give me your oil. Oh, you're so mean. I knew you Christians were mean.
Well, you think about what they're asking. They're asking you to give something that's not yours to give. And yes, it does probably appear like not a very nice thing, but I can't give something, God, I can't give God away like that. Like, you can't say, God, you know, like, we're not in that position to do that.
Right.
That would be crazy.
Right.
Anyway.
That's right. Okay. And that's my next line. You're right on target. The saved cannot save the lost. The saved cannot save the lost. Just like you said, the saved cannot save the lost.
And you would be in, I'd imagine that before the Lord, that would be like a pretty arrogant thought to think that you could. I mean, in the sense that I can give you the Holy Spirit, you know, for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't. It's not your job. You have no power.
There are a lot of people thinking they're out there saving people. But see, Jesus is, no.
He's making this abundantly clear in this parable that's not going to happen.
No. The saved cannot save the lost. The lost do not enter the kingdom of heaven based on what others have received. I'll say it again. The lost, the foolish ones, do not enter the kingdom of heaven. There's enter. There's see, enter, and inherit. They don't enter the kingdom of heaven based on what others have received. In other words, your parents or your grandma, somebody in your family, you know, aunt so-and-so, uncle somebody, you know, he would have been a great uncle, but everybody called him uncle, but he wasn't. He was my mother's uncle.
Yeah.
Was a minister, you know, he was for a long time. And, but just because he was saved didn't mean that I could have some of that salvation for myself to enter the kingdom of God and stand before God and say, well, my uncle's a pastor, so, you know, it's kind of in the family, or whatever, you know.
I heard somebody say one time, well, how could I not be saved? You know my parents.
Yeah,
I was stunned.
Real.
I was stunned. I was like, wow.
Sort of like chain migration.
Right. Good enough. Okay. Let's read Ezekiel 18, verse 20.
Ezekiel 18, verse 20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself.
All right. So each person dies for his own sins, unless, barring salvation through Jesus Christ alone, the work of salvation being that of the Holy Spirit. The soul that sins will surely die, and you die for your own sins unless you are saved by grace through faith, which in itself is a gift, through Jesus Christ alone. And the Holy Spirit is doing this work of salvation from beginning to end. God alone saves. All right. Time and opportunity run out at the end of the age or at death. Now, see, a lot of people think, oh, the Son of Man returning. And I maintain, you got to be ready, because everybody says, oh, well, you know, Jesus is not going to return in my lifetime. Okay, but I'm telling you, people died today. A lot of people died today, and they were young people, and I'm sure none of them expected that this was going to be the last day of their lives, the last day of their life, and none of this was expected. And that's what makes it so heinous. But it's a picture of what this parable is about, sadly, but it is. This is a very stern warning in this parable. And we don't know. The bottom line, we have to live in readiness. We just don't know. Okay, so read Hebrews 9, 27 and 28.
Hebrews 9:27-28. And as it appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation.
Okay. That second time that Jesus appears, because when we die, you know, we are with the Lord. So we don't know exactly what happens, but we know, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what we do know is that Jesus appears, who knows exactly what's going to happen. But when we physically die, that's it. Now, that's the judgment seat of Christ, and all of that is considered an event, this enormous event. We don't know whether that's a season or all in one 24-hour day, you know, or what the time frame, or where are we, you know, with all of that as far as time ticking away. But it is an event. But we have to understand that. I just want us to not think that Jesus showing up or coming around or appearing to us is limited to the final judgment. I think that's a mistake, because we have to live in a state of readiness. We have to live as though if Jesus showed up, right? Oh my goodness. We have to live with that reality.
Well, all those people, I mean, they met Jesus today in that horrible thing. Those people who died, either for judgment or for, you know, eternal salvation.
It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to face judgment. And then to face judgment. There is a point of no return. Let's read Matthew 7. Oh, here's another Lord. Okay. Matthew 7, 21-23. There is a point of no return.
Matthew 7, 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Okay, this is the same idea. I refer to this passage. But now let's read John 6, verse 60 to 66.
John 6, 60 to 66. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Is it the Spirit who gives life? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.
All right. And what happened in verse 66?
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
Right.
Let me read that again. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away?
All right.
Well, couldn't that have been, couldn't that be like the five virgins who didn't have, the oil? You know, they were with
right.
them, they were listening, and they,
yeah, they were
thought
hanging.
They were, mm-hmm. and then they...
That's right. All right, and then, okay, but in John 6:53, when they translate it, the Spirit is the one who gives life, but it actually is, the Holy Spirit is the life producer. And it's one of those flip things, you can flip back both ways. The life producer is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life producer. They just translate it, the Spirit is the one who gives life in this version. And some, but you have to see that's a name of the Holy Spirit, and it describes He is the life producer. The life producer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit. So it's a little, and then we can say human nature is of no help. The flesh or human nature, whatever it is. No help on our part for it, And for salvation, we cannot save ourselves. No one else can give us their salvation. And we can't save ourselves. Only Jesus Christ saves, as the Father has allowed that person to come to Jesus. Okay? All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about false assumptions. Taking chances by refusing to heed the warnings. Everything appears to be fine at the moment, so there's a false confidence. I don't need to buy fuel. What do I need to buy fuel for? I have plenty of time to fuel up. Think of gasoline in the car or whatever.
And all the stations are closed.
Yeah, that all the stations are closed. There's a whole stretch here on the highway where there aren't any gas stations. I'm not kidding. And if you're a tourist, I don't know what they do if they play that game of if they don't get gasoline at a certain point, they're not going to find a gas station for. They're going to be going all over down here trying to find a gasoline station. All right, I have plenty of time to fuel up. Nothing will happen in my lifetime. I'm good. Hey, I'm good. God is good. God is good. I'll get someone to give me what they have that I need right now. Someone else will give me. what they have. So I don't, so many people believe that, though. I mean, really, cognitively believe that.
We got to make sure we don't think like that.
Yes.
That's a warning, too.
Yes, and it, and Jesus is also warning that it is not wrong. The wise ones were wise not to give up, to give their oil to the foolish ones, because they would not have enough, because they had to walk with the torches, whatever went on, right? The idea is then, and they couldn't, but the fact that they didn't, Jesus does not upbraid them.
No, he doesn't.
For, oh, wise, the wise ones were terrible because they didn't share.
And he didn't upbraid them all for sleeping either.
None of them were.
They were all dozing off.
None of them got it for sleeping.
Yeah, but the funny, but there is a distinction. The five with and the five without all nodded off waiting, but five were ready, even nodded off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hope in that, by the way.
So when the alarm came, you know, however it came, some thing, would be like the alarm.
Wait up! That's all part of waiting. You know, we all waited, but you become alert.
There was a delay. Yeah.
But they were nodding off. It says that they were nodding off. Sure. They were all falling asleep. They were all nodding off.
Which means we all would too.
Right.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of hope in that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
when the Jewish came out of Egypt, they slept with their clothes on, or they were ready to go. So mm-hmm. it's like that. They might go to sleep or not off, but they were ready at a moment's notice to mm-hmm. to go.
Yeah. Jesus was at Gethsemane. I mean, human nature does nod off to sleep. You know, when they all fell asleep and Jesus was praying, I mean,
mm-hmm.
telling them to stay awake. And
it might have been
flesh is weak.
Yeah. It might have been expected that they would take a nap because of a long period of time. It might have been
good, yeah.
But it just be ready.
Well, they did.
At a moment's notice.
I think of firefighters. They call them today, firefighters, and don't they kind of have that? They're all ready to roll, and they got like just like that. They're trained.
Slide
they
down
do
the pole.
Sleep.
Slide down the pole.
They
jump
do,
in your boots.
They do sleep.
Yeah.
But they never know.
No,
so there's a lot of application to different jobs here. Okay, this parable is about having oil in our lamps or torches, which light the way in the darkness. Oil was used in the tabernacle services, Exodus 27, 20 and 21. Let's read it, Exodus 27, 20 and 21.
Exodus 27, 20 and 21. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel.
Okay. And the oil symbolizes the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God and the Word of God, there is no salvation. The foolish ones were carrying the lamp, the Word of God, but they had no oil, the Holy Spirit, to light that lamp or that torch. So, the idea here is stay awake, be alert. And the awake doesn't mean you don't go to sleep ever. Honestly, some people take that literally. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to, you know, have insomnia? No.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, the idea is to be alert. Readiness, really. Readiness. All right, so what does Jesus believe? Number one, Jesus believes in warning of coming judgment, especially to his disciples. And then I just describe and review the parable. Okay, because this is very long, so what does Jesus believe here? And it goes all the way through, and there's the parable. Okay. Uh, All right. This parable follows warnings that many will fall away from the faith and or demonstrate they were never saved and that the faithful will be hated by the world. Number two, Jesus believes we may know the seasons, but not the day or hour of the coming of the Son of Man. Number three, Jesus believes the day of judgment will be delayed as we would perceive it. People will be going about their lives, as here, a marriage, and get lethargic and sleep, but the day will come suddenly. Number four, Jesus believes ongoing readiness is wisdom, even without any indication something is going to happen. We live in such a time with terrorist acts. I believe it is to give us the mindset we need to have right now. We must live in a state of readiness. Number five, Jesus believes that we are to be alert. We are to go about the tasks assigned to us by him, our appointed work. Don't assume there will be some warning when on your cell phone or in the heavens, some early warning system in place. Don't assume it won't come in your lifetime. Don't assume long delays. Number six, Jesus believes his return will separate. The wise virgins went in to join the wedding celebration, but the foolish ones had it made it back from going to buy oil for their lamps. The foolish ones plead, "Lord, Lord," plead all they want. Jesus' answer to the five foolish ones is, "I do not know you." So much time has passed. Few live in expectancy of Jesus' return. His return will separate. One group will be distinguished from another. It was so when the plagues hit Egypt. The distinction here is between believers and unbelievers. Who is what may not be distinguishable until Jesus returns, but Jesus knows his own. And then I just wrote more what we just went over. Number eight, Jesus believes his disciples are to stay awake and be alert. The separation is coming. Only the Holy Spirit gives life. He is the life producer. And then I wrote what we talked about with the lamp as notes. About the lamp is in there and false assumptions and what this parable is about. So I just plugged that all in there for what goes out, you know, over the internet. All right, and the full teaching is at www.mcmtffr.org. And we all said, amen.
Amen.